We will be in Ezekiel today. We're going to continue our journey through the prophets. And I ended up with kind of a tough one. This week was a little challenging for me to kind of figure out what I was going to do with this and how God was speaking to me in it. And so when it came down to it, I think that this is definitely the direction that God wanted me to go. So let's pray, and then we'll read the word together, and we'll go from there. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for all the ways that we worship, Father God. I thank you for the worship team. I thank you for the children that come and sing, Father. I thank you for the prayer and the preaching of the word, Father God. I thank you that you continually tie us to you through all of these aspects, through the reading of Scripture, Father God, for just speaking Scripture together. I pray right now that I would step out of the way and that you would step forward, Father God. Help me to make sense of what it is you've been talking to me about. I thank you and I praise you and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, all right. Now that you guys are all comfortable, let's rise and let's read the word together. You guys knew it was coming anyway. Some of you were already standing up. Ezekiel chapter 43. I'm going to do my best not to fiddle with the microphone. I get in trouble for that. God's glory returns to the temple. Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kibar River, and I fell face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, I heard someone speaking to me from inside the temple. He said, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place for the soles of my feet. This is where I live among the Israelites forever. The people of Israel will never again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings, by their prostitution and their funeral offerings for their kings at their death. When they place their threshold next to my threshold and their doorpost beside my doorpost, with only a wall between me and them, they defiled my holy name by their detestable practices. So I destroyed them in my anger. Now let them put away from me their prostitution and funeral offerings for their kings, and I will live among them forever. Son of man, describe the temple of the people of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their sins. Let them consider its perfection, and if they are ashamed of all they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangements, its exits and its entrances, its whole design and all its regulations and laws. Write these down before them so that they may be fruitful to its design and follow all its regulations. This is the law of the temple. All the surrounding area on top of the mountain will be most holy. Such is the law of the temple. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So, when I read a passage like this, my first thought is, what is going on here? Why is this passage important? And it is very much so prophetic language, right? So it's like Ezekiel's vision. And so I have to tear it apart and look at it and try to figure out what he's trying to say to us and what he was saying to the people of Israel at the time. And so this is Ezekiel's third and final vision of Yahweh's glory or presence or kavod. This is a vision for the people of Israel living in exile. In verses 1 and 2, the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. Ezekiel sees the glory and the presence of God returning from the same direction that he left. God left the presence of Israel from the east gate, and he returns from the same direction. In verse 3, Ezekiel refers back to his previous visions to help describe the vision. It's kind of like, I don't know if you guys have read N.T. Wright much, but he does this a lot. You'll be reading one of his books, and he'll refer to another one of his books in a certain place, in a certain area, and you're like, well, I don't know what he's trying to say here, but I've kind of got an idea. I have to go and read what he wrote before, so I know what he's writing now, and I have the context of where it goes. So I had to do that. This is Ezekiel's third vision. He's referring back to his other two. So now I have to go and I have to look and see what's going on. His first vision was in chapters 1-3. He was down by the river and God spoke to him and he sees the glory of God. And his second vision was in chapters 8-11. And this is the vision where God leaves the temple because of the sin of Israel. In verses 4 and 5, the glory of God enters the temple through the gate facing east. And then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of God re-enters the temple. And Ezekiel is lifted up and placed in the inner court. This is very different from how Ezekiel was lifted up the last time he had a vision of God. Let me read that to you. In chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. I looked, and I saw a figure like that of a man. From what appeared to be his waist down, he was like fire, and from there up, his appearance was bright as glowing metal. He stretched out what looked like a hand and took me by the hair of my head. The Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and in visions of God, he took me to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the idol that provokes jealousy stood. And there before me was the glory of the God of Israel, as in the vision I had seen in the plain. So, as I was reading this and I was looking at this, Ezekiel's lifted up in this third and final vision and placed in the inner court, and it's kind of like a nice and like, I think of it like a whoosh, right? You picked up and he's placed there. In the one before, I don't know if you guys caught it, but he's picked up by the hair of his head. Ooh, sounded like somebody was not too happy. As I was reading, I was like, man, that feels a little uncomfortable. Ezekiel speaking to the people of God. And God is showing him these things. And in the vision before, Spirit of God picks him up by his hair and places him in the temple. In this one, he is picked up and placed in the temple. One of them sounds a whole lot better than the other one. In verse 10 and 11, Son of man, describe the temple to the people of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their sins. Let them consider its perfection, and if they are ashamed of all they have done, make known to them the design of the temple, its arrangements, its exits, its entrances, its whole design, and all its regulations and laws. Write these down before them, so that they may be faithful to its design and follow all its regulations. In there, in this grand vision that Ezekiel has, there is a call, a direct call to repentance. God shows Ezekiel these things and tells him to give the people part of it, that they would recognize their sin. And if they change, then give them the whole layout of the glory of God and how I will rest here and I will live here and I will be among them. Now we got to remember, this message that Ezekiel has was for a people that were living in exile. They hadn't been in the presence of God in a long time. Why is this all important? And what is Ezekiel trying to share with his people? Here's what it comes down to. As I was reading this, and I spent a lot of time just trying to figure out Ezekiel as a whole. The people of Israel were living through a time of trauma. They had been through war and hunger, and they had been uprooted from their lives and taken to a faraway land. And then you have Ezekiel, who comes and he has this vision of God returning to the people. These people that have been struggling, these people that have been crying out to him, these people that no longer really know what it's like to be in God's presence or to be a people of God. I have a few quotes coming up, because as I was reading through this, and this term trauma kept coming up in all of this study. So I want to take a few moments to kind of talk about what trauma is and what they are experiencing. And I know by no means am I an expert, but I think we need to take a look at it. In modern study, the term trauma is a way of designating certain kinds of effects that some experiences have on those who endure them. By definition, trauma occurs when the experience of one or more catastrophic events produces a variety of responses that continually disrupt normal life and result in both conscious and unconscious ways of continually reliving the event in an unhealthy manner. Such traumatic experiences can be physical, psychological, social, or economic, such as terror, death, disaster, helplessness, oppression, warfare, and more. Importantly for the book of Ezekiel, such trauma can result not only from the direct experience of catastrophic events, but also from indirect experience of merely witnessing or hearing the report of an event. Additionally, trauma can be experienced at both personal and communal levels, disrupting the coherence of the individual lives, but also destabilizing a group's identity and understanding. One more. Traumatic experiences refuse to be integrated in a coherent way into the narrative of a person's or a community's life. So the victim is unable to make sense out of the experience with the normal categories of his or her life story. The trauma exists as a force that remains outside of the recognizable narrative of life and is unable to be coherently understood or articulated. The reason I go through all this, and I wanted to give you guys an idea of kind of what trauma is and how it affects people, just a quick overview, a couple of short quotes, is because not only were the people of Israel living in the time of trauma, but we, as the people of God, have just lived through a time of trauma. Ezekiel is speaking to a people that have been traumatized by war and captivity. Not only those that experienced it firsthand, but also later generations that grew up displaced by what happened to their people. Ezekiel is speaking to a people that are no longer in their land. They've seen relatives pass, some of them violently. They've starved. They've been uprooted. And now they're in a strange land. And Ezekiel is speaking to these people. But this is the cool part. Ezekiel gets to share this message of hope for a future. He gets to share this beautiful image of God returning to them, to the temple. He gets to share the excitement that God will be with them forever. So he is speaking to a people that are downtrodden, that don't even know how to make sense of what has happened to them. That's what it says. Traumatic experience, you cannot make sense because it doesn't fit in the narrative of your normal life story. Why is this important to us? Over the past couple of years, we have all experienced trauma. We have experienced trauma not only individually, but communally. No, you guys are probably tired of hearing about it. But this pandemic that we've been through is trauma. It has created trauma in our lives. And here's why. Because it took what was our normal life patterns and it was completely disrupted by something that was well outside of our control. And we are still having problems trying to fit that back into the narrative of our life. All the things that we have been through, family members passing, friends passing, being completely isolated from each other, well outside of our normal experience, especially as the people of God. We were designed to live together. It has been a tough couple of years. The normal rhythms of life were drastically altered and were replaced by fear and uncertainty. I don't know about you, but when this COVID thing first hit and people were saying pandemic, I was like, yeah, no big deal, another bird flu, right? No problem. It'll be done and over with in a couple of months and nobody will be talking about it again. And then the next thing you know, society is at a standstill. We have no idea what's going to happen with our jobs, our lives, if we're going to be able to provide for our families. We don't know if our family is even going to stay healthy enough to survive. All we hear about is hospitals overflowing. People not being able to take care of their families. And we saw some of that play out. And I'm telling you, it is a traumatic experience. And it is okay to say that. The thing is that we have to realize is that trauma is not healed by burying it deep or avoiding it. We work through trauma by talking about it, by praying for each other, by communicating it. That's how it happens. God calls the people in this passage to repent and to turn to Him so that they could see all the beautiful things that are laid out. And here's where I'm at. We can begin those conversations by simply talking to God and begin to heal from what we have been through. What we have been through is not normal. It is well outside the normal rhythms of our life. And for many of us, our lives are still disrupted. Although we're starting to get back to what is the new normal, similar to the people that were living in exile. War and famine and uprooted, and then they got back to their new normal in Babylon for 70 years. And Ezekiel gets this vision of God returning to them, them being back on their holy mountain and being the people of God together once again. And it's such a beautiful vision of hope for those that have been through such a hard time. I think that this is what we need. We need that vision of hope today. That God is still the God who loves us. He is still the one that cares for His people. And we can begin that healing with prayer and conversation with Him. As we move forward, our lives will be different, but that's okay. Things will look different, but that's okay. Our first step is recognizing that everything was disrupted, and it took us some time to figure out how much it affects us. And for the next few years, we'll still be working through that. But I'm telling you right now, there is hope. God is with us and He is there. And this vision that Ezekiel shares with us is such a great reminder of God returning and saying, I will be with them always. Amen. And that's our reminder today. Is even though we have our struggles and we have trauma that we have to deal with, that we can't make sense of, the God of all understanding can. So that's kind of where I'm at today, guys. I know by the notes that Pastor Raul sent with the scripture passage, that's not where he was going to go. But I'm telling you, as I looked at the people of Israel that were in captivity and Ezekiel and him being pastor and priest and prophet to these people, I feel like that's where I'm at today. I am a pastor to a people that have been through a lot. And I realize that it may not be that trauma of being in war, which some people are experiencing right now, but it is definitely a disruption in your life pattern. And it is definitely something that is hard to make sense of. And that's okay. So as I invite the worship team up, I told them I would be very clear in this moment. As I invite them up, I want to pray for you guys. And I want to pray that healing would begin today. I want to pray that you guys would recognize the hope that God gives us. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for who you are and what you're doing. Father, as we've been through this experience of this pandemic and just being isolated and separated, the fear and the uncertainty that surrounded it, Father, I pray that today you would begin to heal us. Father, I pray that today we would begin to at least talk to you about it, Father. I pray that we would bring it out into the open and that we would share it and that in that we would be healed, Father God. Help us to grow together as the people of God and help us to recognize that we are not the only ones that have experienced this trauma, but there is an entire world out there that need your hope. Father, help us to share that. Help us to share, as Ezekiel did, this wonderful vision of hope and your glory to a returning people. I thank you and I praise you and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.